We received a letter a few days ago from Bethlehem of Judea. And Brother Nemo, his name is Elias. He has written to us a number of times, and he's been listening to our tapes, our messages, and sharing it with others. And others have written and asked for the messages. And he himself expressed in the letter that he had just translated one of our tracts. I don't recall which one it was. God's Healing Word. He had just translated one of those tracts into the Arabic language for us. And he said he was starting on another tract. So we appreciate these people that are concerned, that work with us in these translations, and that help us to try to reach those that are unreached. You cannot realize the need for those that will help us in the translations until you have gone out on the fields and into frontier evangelism. When you go out into places where there is 7 to 10 million people, and you spend a little time out there in the midst of the multitudes, and you see the hungry souls, and you see that hardly anybody is making a real God attempt, I'll put it like that, to reach the soul of mankind, then you really want to do something for God. I mean, you really hunger and thirst to do something for God. You know, you would think that the mission fields would literally be running over with missionaries and evangelists, and at one time there was people that was really concerned. But you know, people have really lost their concern. And a lot of times when missionaries go into a field now, all they want to do is just lounge around and eat and drink and sightsee and go here and there, and that's all they care about. They're not really interested in lost humanity. We hardly met anybody in this entire trip of 11 or 12 countries. Hardly anybody that was missionaries that was in there doing a work for God. I think maybe among the Wycliffes was about the most effective that we saw, and that was very light as far as the depths of the gospel. But men like Bub had spent 25 years maybe in an Indian village translating into their language, and we met one lady. I believe that Brother Mitch has an article from this lady. They're going to publish it in Harvest Herald perhaps. But we met this lady, and her companion had spent numbers of years back in the Indian village, and she had a great testimony. But you know, the multitudes roaming the streets, nobody caring. David said, I looked, but I could not find anyone who cared for my soul. And it's a true fact that you can't find anybody that really cares for your soul. But when you look back at Calvary and you see the thing that Jesus done for you, how that he spilt the blood there at Calvary, gave his blood. You know, when you say spilt the blood, that's not a good term, because a lot of times you think of something that happened accidentally, and it didn't happen accidentally. He gave his blood. He yielded up his blood there at Calvary. When you see it, you see what he done for you, then you know that there is somebody that cares for your soul. There's somebody that is concerned. So then, let's be concerned. Let's be diligent. Let's be about our Father's business. Let's coordinate. Let's get into the harness with God here on the home front. And lest you and I be an example that our light may shine throughout the world. Let's don't become selfish and complacent and get into the kind of condition to where we're just interested in our, as we say, our four and no more. But let's let this be a well of water springing up into everlasting life that will overflow in such a way that it'll go out into the foreign fields and around the earth, and that everybody can drink from this well. I'm always reminded of what Paul or one of the writers said there when they spoke of a church and said, your faith is spoken of throughout the world. Let our faith be spoken of throughout the world. Let's so live that everybody will do or see what we're doing and want to do the way that we're doing. And let's let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And not just shining here in the local area, but let it shine abroad throughout the world. Now then, by radio, by TV, by the printed page, we are reaching, potentially speaking, we are reaching millions and millions of people. And this, of course, pleases me well. At the same time, we're reaching many thousands of people through the printed page, here and abroad. And then we have our people that are daily going to and fro, giving their testimony, and they are reaching people. And I feel that that is wonderful, but at the same time, I told the brethren the other day, I feel personally that we should be doing at least three times what we're doing. Now, you might not agree with me, and you might say, well, Brother Pike, I don't feel that we can do that. But I believe that we have the potentials here to do at least three times what we're doing for God. Now, if you disagree with me, well, you can come and talk to me about it. But now, when you come and talk to me about it, I want you to bring forth your strong reasoning as to why you feel we cannot do it, because I'm going to bring forth some strong reasoning and show you why I believe we can do it. I believe that God has endowed us with the potentials here and the ability through our brothers and sisters to do at least three times what we are doing for God. And I believe that if we'll all unite together, really get in the harness for God, I believe that it will show up and you'll say, Brother Pike, you're right. You're right. We have done it. Now, if we don't coordinate together, then we can't do it. But see, when you have perhaps a third of your people that are active in the things of God, then you're only going to have about a third production. Isn't that right? But now, if you get all of the people active in the things of God, and I believe you'll admit that every person ought to be active in the things of God. In other words, let me ask you this one question. Who are you that you should feel that everybody else should be active in the things of God, and are you not active in the things of God? It's like a man that kind of pulled me on the spot here not too long ago, and as some of you know about it, in the big offices here that work with Ford Corporation, he called me back into the office and was telling me such and such, and when he got through, I told him some things. And I said, sir, I said, who are you to feel that I should have the responsibility of the gospel and the kingdom of God, and that I should publish the gospel in all the world while you sit back in a fine office and rear back in a nice cushioned seat and let everything go? I said, who are you to feel that way? I said, let me tell you that God is expecting of you just the same way that He is expecting of me. And at the judgment bar of God, that He's going to require it at your hand, and He's going to want to know what you've done for God. And I tell you what, it tore him up so bad that, as some of you know, he had to see a psychiatrist, and they had to give him about a month or so off from the work. And I don't know that he ever got straightened out. But I do know one thing. I know that he couldn't rest until he come all the way to Bethlehem to counsel with us about what we said. And he said, preacher, you got me tore all to pieces. And said, I've been that way ever since you talked with me. So then I ask you the question, who are you that you should feel that I should have the responsibility, or some of the other brothers and sisters should take the responsibility, and you should be at ease? The Bible said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. So then to me, you must do the same thing that I'm doing, and you must work just like I or anybody else work for the Lord Jesus and take on the same responsibility. Be just as conscientious about the kingdom of God and get up and be about your Father's business. This is my conviction. I believe that Jesus made the statement on one occasion that what I say unto one, I say unto all. And when he said it to me, he said it to you too. So then, brothers and sisters, that's what you need to do. I believe that we can do three times as much if we can take the part of our people that are not activated with the Spirit of God, that are not zealous for God, and if we can really stir up their pure minds in Christ and get them moving for God. I believe that we can do three times as much. I hope every person will begin to commune with themselves. The Bible said, speak to yourself. Begin to speak to yourself a little bit and talk to yourself a little bit. And begin to ask yourself the question, Lord, what am I doing, or am I doing anything? Am I causing a problem? The Bible said, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You cannot be here on the home front and say, well, I'm not with Brother Pike and the brethren. God has sent me to do such and such. You can't do that. Because the Bible said, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. If you are not gathering with us, and if you are not in a unit with us, then it's obvious that you're scattering. Whatever you do is scattering the people and causing division among the people and causing the people to go in error. See, we've got to gather together. We've got to work together, and we've got to unify our efforts for Christ, because there is but one God. There is but one church. There is but one body of many members. And we've got to work together. Every person being baptized into that body by one Spirit, by one Spirit. It doesn't make any difference if they're in India, if they're in Africa, if they're in South America, Australia, or wherever they are. It doesn't make any difference. If they are a child of God, we are one unit in Christ. If we are not together, then one of us is out of the kingdom of God. One of us is out of the will of God. And if we are a unit for Christ, and if we are children of God, when Brother Pike goes into the foreign fields, those that are the true units of God will come together with me, and we'll be brothers. And if they come into this area, we will come together with them, and we will be brothers. And if we are not gathering with one another, then everything that we do and everything that we say, we scatter. We just scatter abroad. We scatter. In other words, our conversation causes division. Our ambitions, our zeals, our desires divide the kingdom of God and cause people to go in different directions instead of coming together in a unit and in a brotherhood. So then, I feel that we ought to unify our efforts and come together in the things of God. It's so wonderful to be a Christian. Let's read over in the book of St. Luke. We've read this numbers of times, but I feel like reading it this morning. In the 10th chapter of the book of St. Luke, let's read it. Now, I want you to know this morning that I have great respect for you. I have a great respect for God's people. I respect all men, whether they're dignitaries or whether they're just the common working man, or whether they're poor, rich, whatever, whether they are educated or whether they're ignorant, whether or not they're Christians or whether they're just sinners. I respect them. And I give honor to all men. But the Bible said double honor to them that labor in the Lord. I have a great respect for the children of God, because I know that they are eternal beings. I know that they will never die. I know they are made to live eternally. I know they are eternally rich, that they are eternal in their existence. And I know that they'll be here on and on and on, and that they own everything. And I know that when all of the people of the world have lived their days out and died and cannot possess the earth anymore, that the children of God will live on and possess the earth, because they are eternal. So I've got great respect for them. Now, but at the same time, if I reprove, if I rebuke, if I exhort, it is for your benefit, because I am interested in your soul and I'm trying to help you. And that's the case with every true minister. They are interested in your soul, and they're trying to help you. They care for your soul through the Spirit of Christ. St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples, and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know, reading the whole chapter, you see a lot of things here that really stirs your heart. One thing is that Jesus says that Martha was cumbered about things of life, whereas Mary had chosen the one thing that was needful. You know, there's a lot of things that we feel like we need, like automobiles and houses and clothes and all those kind of things, you know, that we feel they are essential to life. But really, when you get down to the real core of the thing, There's only one thing that's needful, and that is eternal life. Something that will help you escape the damnations of hell. Something that will help you to get away from death or overcome death. That one thing is needful. And that is the only thing that's needful. You could make out without anything else. Now he said, Brother Pike, if I didn't have any food, I would starve to death. But you know, you could make out. You could make out until you starved, and then after that you'd have eternal life from now on and wouldn't have to worry anymore. So see, anything in life that you feel that you have to have, you could make out without it. But I'll tell you something, friend, you can't make out without salvation. It is a must. You must have salvation or you're going to be cut off from God eternally. You're going to be out of the presence of God eternally unless you get the one thing that is needful. And that is to come into the presence of the Almighty God and find salvation. So then Jesus tells us that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, and there she learned about the wonderful things of God. You know, another thing that's outstanding here is that when God gave power to the 70, the Bible says that 70 people went out and cast out devils and then came back rejoicing in the things of God. A lot of times we think of the 12 apostolic leaders, you know, Peter, James, and John, and so on, and we think of those as being the only ones that received power from God, and we also think of them as being the only ones that went out and done great miracles and brought about healings. But here we are told in the Word of God that 70 was commissioned by God and that 70 people went out and done great miracles. But did you know that we're also told that even though those 70 went out and done great miracles, that they turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right?
Right.
Now, I read about a man the other day that is in a bad situation with the law. He apparently has turned away from God. I'd gotten reports prior to this that he turned away from God. But they say that he's done great miracles. It's been seen on TV under the big tents, and he draws huge crowds. But he apparently has turned away from God. See, they'd done great miracles, but they did not follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we say again, what is needful? Is the one thing that is needful, is it for me to cast out devils? Is the one thing that's needful for me to have power to go cast out devils? No, that's not the one thing that's needful. Jesus didn't say that that was the one thing that was needful. Is that right? He also pointed out to them when they came back rejoicing over the fact that devils were subject unto them. He said, rejoice not because the spirits are subject unto you. In other words, that's not the one thing that's needful, Jesus said. Don't rejoice because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoice because you have that one thing that's needful, and that is eternal life, and your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe if the church world today would start rejoicing over the fact that they have eternal life and quit rejoicing over all the gifts and all of these other things, I believe we'd have a great church. I believe we'd have a power among the people that would really do the job for God. What we need is a unity in the church. We need people that are looking in the right direction. Paul said on one occasion, he said, you may have faith to move mountains, and that's good. You may have the power to heal the sick, and that's good. You may be able to work miracles, that's good. But he said, there's one thing that's needful, and that is charity. And if you don't have charity, he said, you're like sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And none of these things profit you if you don't have charity. So then I'm in agreement with Mary. And I'm in agreement with what Jesus said. I want to get a hold of that one thing that's needful. You know, I discovered this long years ago, and I set out to get a hold of the one thing that was needful. I said, Lord, I want to do all the wonderful things that you will let me do. I want to pray for the sick. I want to see the sick heal. I want to see all of these things take place.
I want to see devils driven out. But God, I want the one thing that's needful, and I'm going to seek the one thing that's needful, that all down through my life I can hold on to salvation and hold on to eternal life. Because I know that if we don't get charity in our heart, if we don't get the Spirit of God in our heart, that all of these other things that we do is not going to profit us at the judgment bar of God. Now you might say, Brother Pike, I've done a lot of great things in the name of the Lord. The Bible tells us that in that day they'll say, Father, have not I cast out devils in your name? God, haven't I done many mighty works in your name? But the Bible tells us that he will say unto them, Depart, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. I never knew you. See, they did not have the one thing that was needful. And though they may have had faith that would move a mountain, the Bible said it did not profit them. Now you say, Brother Pike, you can't look at it like that. Well, why can't I look at it like that? The Bible said the 70 of them came back and they were rejoicing because the devils were subject unto them. The devils were subject unto the 70, and yet the Bible says that the 70 forsook God. Is that right? So then you can have all of those things, but not have the one thing that's needful. Balaam had the power to do great things. Balaam could see visions with his eyes open. He had the power to stand and prophesy. And the Bible said that when he prophesied, whatever he said came to pass. But the Bible also tells us that he did not have that one thing that was needful because he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Is that right? You may have a gift, you may be blessed of God, but it depends on your motive in life and your desire in life and what your ambition in life is as to what you're trying to do. So then I'm so grateful to God because I have chosen the one thing that is needful. And Mary, she was just so upset. All of this wonderful life going by, and she could just see all the things that she could be doing, you know, the things that she could do with her hands and the things that she could do with life. And no doubt she was a young woman, and Martha probably thought, my, just look at this great world and the great things to be done. When the sunshine comes up in the morning, I'm filled with ego. An ambition to do something, you know. But Mary, she was just contented to go over somewhere and find Jesus and just sat down there at his feet and just listen to the words of God. Just sit there and listen to what Jesus had to say all day long. Just sit there and listen. And Martha, she just couldn't understand it. She said, Lord, said there's a lot of things to be done. Why is it that Mary does this? Why are there so many things that must be done? But I always find Mary sitting here listening at you. Now Jesus said, don't get upset, Martha. He didn't use that term, you know. But he said, don't feel like that. You can tell Martha was upset from the way she talked. He said, tell my sister to do something to help me. But he said, Martha, he said, you're concerned about a lot of things. And that's fine. I'm sure that when dinner time comes that Jesus eat. If Martha had a good meal, I'm sure that he sat down and eat. How do you believe he sat down and eat? Sure he did. The Bible records that he sat down, that they fixed meals for him and those kind of things, see? But the thing is, Jesus saw something far greater than preparing a meal. He saw something far greater than just banqueting as people do today. He saw something that's necessitated in the kingdom of God to be able to live on eternally. And he said to Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the better thing of life. And Mary has chosen the one thing that is needful, and that is to hear my words, and my words are life. So then, when we see that, we think of the one thing that is needful. We think of following Christ Jesus. What is the one thing that's needful? The Word of God. She sat there to listen at God's Word. Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. So then she sat there to hear God's word. That's what she wanted. Mary wanted life. And the only life there is God's word. So you can do a lot of things, beloved friend, but I'll tell you one thing. One thing is needful. That's God's words of life. You know, you may get a great education. That's good. In this world, you can do a lot of things if you have the right kind of education. You may have a lot of money. You may engineer things just right, and you may come into a lot of money, and that's wonderful because you can do a lot of things with money. And you may get a lot of fame and a lot of popularity. You may come to be a great person, a prestige, even become a great statesman. Now, you might do that, and that's great, but I want to tell you something. You'll die and leave every bit of it. Every bit of it you will die and leave. If you lay up your treasures here, you're going to die and leave them. Is that right? See, the Bible said, lay up your treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, there your heart will be also. So then, let's lay up treasures in heaven. All of these things down here, they're great, but you have to leave those things. See, Solomon, he heaped together a lot of treasures. He got a lot of things. He had prestige. He had fame throughout the world. He had all kinds of things. Everything that the heart could wish for, Solomon had it. Everything that was worthwhile in life, Solomon had it. But see, after a while, Solomon began to stop and he began to think. After he had finished his great ambitions in life and he heaped together treasures and got everything that heart could wish for, then he sat down and he began to think. And Solomon began to say within himself, I have by wisdom gotten all of these treasures. I've gotten all these beautiful things. Everything that I've gotten it by wisdom. I've been shrewd. I've been careful. I've been wise. I've gotten all of these things. I've labored. I've kept all these things together. They all belong to me. But now I've got to die and I've got to leave them. And it's just vanity. It's vexation of my spirit. It vexes me to think that I've done all of this and I've got to leave it to somebody else. By wisdom I've gotten it all, and who knows but what, I'll leave it to a fool and he'll just squander all of it away. And it grieved Solomon at his heart. It made him very sad at his heart, because every time he would think of it, he'd think of all of his treasures, all of his work, all of his labor being gone. See, all of your works will be burned. All of your works would be burned. That's why that we should do something for Jesus. That's why we should put our labor in God. You that have your youth, and you that have your strength, and you that are at yourself, good understanding, put your body, your mind, your time, your spirit, put it into Christ. Do something for God. Don't give your time to the world. Don't give your strength to the world out there, but put it in God. Just come right up there and find something to do for God and say, Father, if I make $1 million, I'll give it to God. If I become famous, if I become some great statesman, if they put me in the White House, I'll do it for God. I'll do it like Esther did. I'll do it for Christ Jesus. And God, whatever you give me in this life, if you give me a good understanding, you broaden my understanding to where I know what's going on, I'll use my intelligence for God and not use it selfishly for myself. And Lord, whatever I am, if you favor me in my appearance in life and you bless me in my appearance in life, God, I'll give it into the hands of Christ Jesus. And I'll use it for Christ. I won't use it for glamour and for Hollywood, but I'll use it for Christ. Now let me tell you something. When you take that outlook, and when you look in that direction, when you use your talents, if you can sing, whatever you can do, great talents, musicians, whatever, perfect that thing in your life. Be skillful in it, and then give it to Christ Jesus. If you are a businessman, if God has raised you up and made you a businessman and give you the talent for that, use it for God. Use it for God. You can do it. Use it for God. There's great men in the world today that are businessmen, great businessmen. I've talked to some of them, and they are shrewd, and they are wise, and they know what to do. But some of them are using it for God, and some of them are not using it for God. Now, what you want to do is use it for God. Whatever you can do, have one goal in life, have one ambition in life, and that's to do it for God. Maybe you're not a preacher. Maybe you are a wise man. The Bible said, I've sent wise men among you. Maybe you are a wise man. Maybe not a preacher, but you are a wise man. And God has endowed you with understanding and ability and wisdom to know what to do in life and how to do it. Use it for God. You ladies, be a real woman for God. Stand up for God. Don't just do any way in life. Don't just be any old way in life. But every morning when you awake, every day when you go out into the world, go out in the name of Christ. Go out for Christ Jesus. Step out there and be a shining light for God. Make sure that you're dressed according to godliness and that you look nice and that you're a testimony for God. Get out there and do something for God. Work with your companions. Honor your companions. Obey your companion. Love your children. And stand by the family and be a testimony for God. And whatever there is to do, whether here at Little Bethlehem or wherever, Sam, if your husband is in agreement with it and he'll let you do it, work and do something for God. Day is coming to a close. There's one thing that's needful, and I've chosen that one thing. Now then, if you want to choose the one thing that's needful, beloved friend, you can do it. You can have the one thing that's needful, but I tell you in the name of Jesus, it's God's Word. It's God's Word. You can't substitute God's Word. If you go by your own thinking, you go by your own reasoning, and you do the things that you feel to do, and you let the ambitions that are in your life control you, then you're going to miss God's Word. You're going to miss God's way. See, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, which is man's own way. For the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. But then God tells us, lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That young lawyer I read about here, when Jesus asked him, said, what should you do? What should you do? What are you reading in the Scriptures? To trust in the Lord with all of your heart. See, don't lean to your own understanding. If you lean to your own understanding, you'll always go astray. You know, the understanding of mankind and the ambition of mankind, it always has something it wants to do. Isn't that right? It's got to go visit the relatives. Why, it's got to have a banquet. It's got to ride around a little bit. It's got to fellowship the flesh a little bit. It's got to get an education. It's got to make a little money. It's got to feather its nest. It wants to build a beautiful house. It's always got something to do. But, oh, friend, let me tell you, Mary chose the better part. She sat down at the feet of Jesus, and I'm sure that Mary must have been a young, beautiful woman. I'm sure there was plenty that she could have done in the world. I'm satisfied that she could have lived it up in the world. Or she could have went out into the world and been a great success. As we say in this day, had some kind of great career. But Mary wasn't ambitious for the world. Mary wasn't concerned about the world. Mary wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear the Word of God. That's what she wanted. And that's what she did. Jesus said, Mary, you got the right idea about it. You got the right idea about it. Now then, I could go on and go on and go on this morning because I feel His presence, the hunger and the thirst for the things of God. Well, listen, friend. Just a little preaching and a little exhortation this morning to let you know that we have to do something for Christ. Give your life to Christ. Give your body to Christ. Obey the Lord, not only in your spirit, but in your body. And be holy, not only in spirit, but the Bible said in body and in spirit. Do it that way. And God will surely bless you. I want you to stand with me. We appreciate your attention this morning. The wonderful things of God are yours. And the 70 came back rejoicing because the things of God was theirs. And this morning the things of God are yours. All things are yours. All things are yours. Everything belongs to you. All you have to do is go in and possess it. But you must put forth an effort. You must put forth an effort. You've got to get a direction, a sense of direction in your heart. You've got to come into the presence of God with thanksgiving and with praise. And you've got to put your best forth for God. And when you do it, you'll be so happy. I know because I'm happy. I'm happy. I've not done all that I need to do, nor have I done my best. I like to feel that I've done my best, you know, and I would say in words that I have done my best. But you know, when we think about it, I feel that we could do 3 times more for God than what we're doing. And I feel that we should do 3 times more for God than what we're doing. If we do it, then the Lord will bless us. Let's get a vision for Christ. Let's get a vision for God. Let's take this morning as a resurrection from the dead. And let's say, God, whereas I once was blind,
but now I see. And Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to do something for you. From this day forward, instead of finding excuses, oh God, I'm going to use my life and utilize my ability for the Son of the living God. Oh, what a task to set before you, and what a reward. You know, you can give this life, you know what life you've got. You can give your body, your strength, your time, whatever amount of years that you've got, you can give it to the lust of the flesh or the desire of the human being. You can do that. Whereas the Bible said we're not those that walk after the flesh, but if you want to be in the flesh and walk after the flesh, you can do that. Whereas I prefer to be in the Spirit and walk after the Spirit and mind the things of the Spirit. But you can give yourself to the flesh, but you're going to live a short life. And when you're finished, all of your ambitions are going to be gone. All of your works is going to be burned. But if you want to, you can lay up treasures in heaven, and you can take the abilities that you got, and you can refine those abilities through the process of the Spirit of God, and you can take that ability and those hidden talents and bring them to life, develop them for Christ, and you can put them to the exchanges, and you can have a reward and a life and treasures and riches unbelievably great and mighty. Something you never dreamed you could have just by putting your talents and your ability to the exchanges. Remember, we're laying up treasures in heaven. Every soul that I win is a treasure in heaven. You know, you see a beautiful diamond full of fire, let the sunlight hit it, it's just radiant. Isn't that right? You know, the average person can't afford a diamond necklace. Now, rich folks, you know, real exceeding rich folks, they can afford to have diamond necklaces and great big diamond rings and things. You know, the sunlight hit those diamonds, they're so brilliant and bright. But remember, that's just a stone cut out of the ground. But that stone is typical of you. Whereas Jesus said, I'll remember you when I go to make up my jewels. And see, jewels in your crown, and what is your crown? The crown of life. My soul receives eternal life. It's crowned with eternal life. And the jewels that's within that crown of life are those jewels that I gather while I'm here, those that I purchase while I'm here with my time and with my experience, those treasures that I take and lay up in heaven, those are my jewels. All those will be waiting for me. All of those will be waiting for me. You say, Brother Pike, why are you so interested in winning a person? Well, there's lots of reasons. One thing is, I don't want to see a person lost and burn in the lake of fire. I don't want to see them lost because their life is like my life. They think like I do. They're sovereignty like I am. They have feelings just like I do. They have a world of their own just like I have. And I don't want to see that world turned into a nightmare. I've got children, wife, friends, loved ones. See, but another thing is, all of those people are jewels. They are jewels of splendor. How you say, Brother Pike, but a jewel is something that is radiant and something that shines. Let the sunlight hit a diamond, it'll give off beautiful rainbow colors. But did you know the Bible speaks of a jewel of God, saying that they that have turned many to righteousness shall outshine the noonday sun? You're talking about shining. My, what a light. Let your light so shine. That beautiful light of God, that great covenant that has the colors of the rainbow. Oh, how beautiful. Hallelujah. See, let's gather jewels. Let's gather jewels for God. Jewels in our crown of life. Why shouldn't I be happy? Why shouldn't I? And then if I lay up treasures on the other side, wherever my treasures are, there my heart will be also. Hallelujah. And this is, of course, what I'm interested in. I want my heart to be in heaven. I want my treasures to be in heaven. They're everlasting treasures. Here thieves break through and steal. Moth corrupts. But up there, no one can touch a treasure. Once you put it there, it is from now. Oh, that thrills me. My, that thrills me. Every time I think of that, I get excited. You know, because it's real. That's what excites me, is it's real. See, to think that it's real. You say, but I don't see any of that, Brother Pike. But you will. Oh, someday you will. Now, a man might be putting money in the bank. You know, every week he's putting money in the bank. He might not see the money after it goes into the bank, but he's got a record. Isn't that right? You put jewels and such like in a safe deposit box, you might not go there for many months to look at them. But you've got a record and you've got a key and you know they're there and you know they belong to you.
See, that's the excitement of it. All right, I'm looking for that special occasion. Special occasion where we can take all of that, take it out of the safe deposit box, you know. Put on those beautiful garments, Zion. Put on those beautiful garments and then stand before the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You ever thought about being a princess or a prince? My, what a day that shall be when His glory I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. It's going to be a wonderful time. Let's sing a little chorus together. Now then, it is so good to be here this morning. It is so good. Let your faith go out to God. Just get the bonds off of it. Just open up your heart. Take all of the strings and the bondage away and let your faith just go out to God. Let it go out to God. You know, we harass our spiritual man on the inside by this old intellectual reasoning. We trouble him, let the devil just plague him all the time. And we get our faith in such a bondage through all of the accusations of the evil one constantly talking to us. He just weaves a web like a spider. He weaves a web around our faith and our soul, and he's got it in a bondage. And the Bible said, there they were in great fear where there was no fear. See, what do you have to fear? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Perilous times can't do it. Sickness can't do it. Trouble can't do it. Heights can't do it. Depths can't do it. Powers can't do it, which means demons can't do it. Nothing can separate you from so great a love. If He so loved me while I was yet in my sins that He spilt His blood for me, how much more does He love me now that He spilt His blood for me and I'm trying to please Him? See, nothing can separate me from so great a love. I have that love through Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate me from that love. Paul said, I'm persuaded that nothing can separate me from it, and I am persuaded that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that great day. Let your faith out. Turn it loose. Yeah, just let it go out to God. Don't let the devil hold it in there with accusations and shortcomings and miseries and what you stumbled into yesterday. Forgetting those things that are behind, ask God for mercy. Ask God to cover it by the blood. It is covered by the blood. Say, get behind me, Satan. As I said the other night, he has to get behind you because he's at Calvary. I beheld him fall as lightning from heaven. He went out. He's behind us, thousands of years behind us. Tell him get back there where he belongs. And just let's go on our way. And let's believe God. And let's accept the word of God and choose that which is needful. All right, let's sing this little chorus, can we? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it again. You know, I feel like that what we need to do this morning is make a new dedication. Coming back from the foreign fields, seeing the need, and seeing it so great that I feel like what we ought to do this morning is just make a new dedication. Would you just lift your hands up where you're at and sing that song with me and make a new dedication this morning? Instead of asking you to come around the altar this morning as we usually do, I want you to just make an altar in your heart this morning. And I want you to just let your faith go out to God. And I want you to accept the mercies of God, accept the blessings of God, and realize that He did it all for you. All for you, because He loved you. And He wants to see you strong, and He wants to see you healthy, and He wants to see you blessed, and He wants to see you full of the joy and jubilance of life. And let's just dedicate our lives anew to Him this morning. Let's apologize to Him for mistreating Him, and for not welcoming God into our heart. You know, it'd be bad if somebody came over to visit with you and you didn't invite him into your home. And here Jesus is. He stands at the heart's door knock, saying, if you'll open to me, I'll come in and sup with you. And while Jesus is talking to you, open the door of your heart and let Jesus come in and say, Lord, come on in and sup with me.
Can you lift your hands up and sing that with me? And tell Him to come into your heart this morning. Can we sing it together? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And though many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it one more time, can you? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Come in, Lord Jesus. Come in, Lord Jesus. At the cross for you.